This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. All good people are thinking about losers, Barry.
All good people? What do you mean?
Yeah. I subscribe to Larry Cohen. Every week they send you a tip, and guess what? His was on counting your losers. It says, don't be a loser, count them. And he's got a little video blurb about them. So you weren't
what about
the
if
only
you want to be a winner?
Thinking about losers. No, no winners.
What if you want to be a winner? You can count those as well.
Maybe that's next week. How's things going?
Look, I think things, the numbers seem to be ticking along for Congress. We're going to talk to Bridget from NZ Bridge about how things are going.
I'd probably have to do it next week because I've got 2 days of flying.
It would be interesting to know how the numbers are tracking compared to last year.
Yeah. She's given us some time. Once I get back into NZ, we'll be able to catch up with her. So that'll be great.
Major event this weekend was held in Timaru. The Canterbury Regional Pairs was on. That was the major event for this weekend. They had 15 tables. The winners were Friend of the Bridge Zone. We haven't heard from him for a while. Bradley Johnson and Sam Coots.
Oh.
Second were Jane Lennon and David Taylor. The Howick tournament, which we heard about, was won by the locals, Leo and Ann Sim. And
oh, great. They're really nice.
Second were Gary Chen, and that name again, Aaron Starr, who won last weekend.
Oh, great.
So looks like Aaron's coming into some form, coming into Congress. Watch out for him.
Yeah, he's having a great warm-up.
So Dargaville held the Kauri Open Pairs today, and that was won by Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin and Grant Jarvis. Do you want to guess what the average score was? It was pretty good, is my clue.
I don't know, 60?
The people that came second averaged 60, Brett Glass and Emma Russell, probably thought they did okay. Unfortunately for them, Jeremy and Grant averaged 71.7.
What? Incredible.
That's a pretty huge score. Well, they had quite a good first session. They scored 67, just over 67. So you're probably figuring out to get up for an average of 71. They needed something pretty special in the second session. And sure enough, I don't know when you last scored this, Mariana. 76.37.
Wow.
So they won by a long way. And that was probably the biggest score that I saw this weekend. I don't know whether I should say this, and I'm not going to mention where it is or who it is or whatever, but I saw that somebody scored 22. Maybe you'll take this out in the edit.
22. Zone 1 in Zia's book. You should have stayed in bed.
So Hastings had a 5A Open Swiss Pairs, and that was won very convincingly by John Pitts and George Masters. They ended up more than 20 V pairs, so a whole match ahead of the field. Second were Mike Williamson and Trish Patterson. Rotorua had their restricted pairs. That was won by Bettina and Marcus Dudley from Gillian Corbett and Jackie Blue. By the way, they went two phased by those scores, and the winners, Bettina and Marcus, got 71.15 in the second session, a 53, followed up with a 71.
Wow.
A nice, steady day.
That's great. Yeah.
Just quickly, Matamata Intermediate Pairs was also held today, and the winners were from Hamilton. Good to see Hamilton represented there. Stan and Helen Rinaldi scored a 66 and a 60. Second were Sally Whitaker and Nick Cantlin. And third, another Hamilton pair, Megan Jolly and Leanne Curry, who had a 52 and a 64. Sometimes you do wonder what these people have for lunch, don't you? Don't you ever think to yourself, what have they had for lunch? 3 in the morning, 71, 52, 64. What happened in the lunch break?
They probably thought, oh, we need something decent here. So did like the devil.
You're heading for Hong Kong, and finally, you're going to have some cards in your hand.
Yeah. Bit nervous about it, actually. What's the longest you've been without playing a game of bridge, Barry?
I'm just trying to think. I guess when I'm just trying to think when I mean, probably Thing is, you can always play online these days, can't you? So,
I did actually have a couple of games online, pretty average.
But I mean, so you can always play something, a bit of BBO or whatever, and play a couple of hands online. So there's always that. I rarely go a day without playing any bridge, even if it is just a free, you know, 8-board tournament online on BBO or something.
Actually, I did pop into BBO yesterday. We had a free day at the villa, and I didn't see the free Accol game. Have they taken it off?
No, it's still there.
Oh, it's still there. Oh, I must be looking at the wrong place. But I didn't think...
you probably had a boys' look.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I just thought, oh, I wonder where that's gone, because I didn't see it.
I don't think there's too much else to report this week. We've got a bit from Judge Julie. We've got quite a big segment with Judge Julie this week, so hopefully you can squeeze all that in.
And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat. Have you got anything to carry on about our don't be a loser, count them?
Well, I don't know whether I can say too much more about losers. I think the way to count losers, the basic method of counting losers, is you look at your four suits and see what losers you have in each suit. So if you're missing ace, king, queen, you've got three losers. If you've got one of those three cards, you've only got two. If you've got two of those three cards, you've only got one. And if you've got you've got all of those three cards, you haven't got any losers in that suit. So you need to go through all the suits. But of course, nothing's ever that simple, is it? So just because you've got the king doesn't mean you haven't got three losers in the suit. So in a way, it's a bit of an imperfect way of counting losers. And if you've got three to the queen, it sure as hell doesn't mean that you've got one sure winner in the suit, does it?
No.
So if you've got things like jacks and tens and nines and you've got touching honours and things like that, it's way better. I mean, if you've got queen, jack, ten of spades and three small hearts, it's way better than having three spades to the queen and three hearts to the jack, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm. The example that he had was like spades were the trumps and you had king, jack, ten and dummy and ace and queen of clubs and dummy as well, but you had four small clubs in your hand. And he was saying, try and figure out what you're going to do with the other two. So you could take the finesse to the ace queen, but you still had two little clubs if it worked. And try and figure out whether you should play trumps first or get rid of your losers first. And in that scenario, don't play trumps because you're going to run out.
Okay, that's given me a hint as to a good tip for this week. Here's one for you. You might not like it because it's not always going to be right, but what is? So it's when you're playing in a suit contract, it is often right for you to try to establish an offsuit before finishing drawing trumps. Yeah. It's a bit scary. I know you're worried they're going to run, but somebody's going to rough in, but it's, you know, quite often, if you draw a trump and then try and set up your offsuit, you sort of run out of trumps.
Mm.
It's often right to set up your side suit winners before drawing trumps. But not always.
I've got a question.
I just want to know. Go on.
I've got a question. Let's say you're in a suit contract and you've got so many trumps between you. Like you've got six and partner's got five. And you've got everything bar the... What is the best way? Is there a tip that you could use about whether you play the ace or whether you finesse?
So you've got queen, jack, 10, 9 in your hand, and you've got... Well, queen, jack, 10, 9, 8 in your hand, and you've got ace, 7, 6, 5, 4, 2 in the other hand.
Yep.
So
tips to see whether opponents have got a singleton, king, one each, or one holds two? What do you reckon?
Well, there's two things here. One is that if they've bid, you know, if they've bid, then...
You can try and take a count,
You can sometimes get a bit of a count. If one hand's opened a preempt or shown a long suit, odds are their partner's quite likely to have the king in another. They won't be breaking 1-1. I mean, if you don't know anything... is just going to play the ace in the first round and hope they're 1-1. But if somebody's bid something, got a bit more information, somebody's overcalled, then they're more likely to have a shortage and like maybe a void in your suit. So if somebody's shown a really long suit, pretty good chance that they might have a void in your in the suit that you've got 11 of. And one other little tip that might help, even if you're not going to take the finesse, come to your hand and play the queen from your hand. You never know. Some people just always cover.
True.
So play the queen, and you know what Zia's tip was, don't you?
Well, I
You
can't
remember?
remember. Nope.
It was if they don't cover, they haven't got it.
Actually, yeah, that's right. Well, that's pretty cool.
So don't just plonk down the ace. Come to hand, play the queen. It's a psychological game. Sometimes, or even if they think about it for a second, then you know what on earth are they thinking about? If they've only got one, there's nothing to think about. So if they think for a while, you probably should take the finesse. Zia would still say, if they don't cover, they haven't got it.
You said if they overcall, if they double, I always think now if they double that, I wonder if they've only got one or none. Could have two.
They could have two. I mean, if they're 4-4-3-2 shape and you open one club, they're going to double, aren't they? But I guess if anybody's going to be void, it's probably more likely to be them than partner still. Basically, if you open a suit and they double there, then most times they won't have too many of the suit you opened. But there's no surefire way. That's all I can say is look at the bidding, and if all else fails, play the queen from hand and hope they cover. That doesn't mean to run it. Play the queen. If they play small, you probably put the ace up. If nothing else, if the person on your right does drop the singleton king, it'll drive them crazy.
That sounds awesome.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Good morning, Judge Julie.
Good morning, and how are you?
Good. Nice and early. Good.
Well, it's morning somewhere.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Where are you, Mariana?
I'm still in the same place as last week. It's our last night tonight, and everyone leaves tomorrow morning.
Oh, well, that's a bit sad.
It is a bit sad. I'm actually looking forward to coming home. It's been a while.
Quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. Anyway.
Stop, look, and listen. Stop. Julie's going to talk about stopping.
Nice.
So we played at Howick yesterday, the 3A at Howick. The room was absolutely full. The field for a 3A was reasonably incredible, which was really, really good. I won't talk about the finishing spots, at least for us, because we're not talking about it.
Okay.
And it wasn't that bad, Mariana.
Okay.
Their and his were ahead of us, so that was a plus, I suppose, from some respects, but not from ours. Anyway, the interesting thing about it, I mean, the results, congratulations to the intermediates and the open and everyone who did well and everyone who enjoyed the day. But the interesting thing was the stop cards. So, you know, we're not using them, which is fine. And we've been looking at a few things and people were talking about it.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing about it is one of the drawbacks of a stop card is that when you use a stop card, you tell your partner you're making a jump bid. So you wake them up to what is going on. And it's been one of the repeating criticisms of using stop cards. And we were just looking, the ACBL requires, obligates you to take 8 to 10 seconds after a jump bid before you make a bid. And the New Zealand stuff that has come out is the same. There is an automatic assumption of 8 to 10 seconds when your opponent, right-hand opponent, makes a jump bid. You will take 8 to 10 seconds before you make a bid. If you bid faster or you bid slower, that will be a break in tempo, and that will give your partner information they are not entitled to. So the break in tempo is not taking time because you are meant to take time after a jump bid, all right? You are meant to take that time to stop and look interested and to ask the questions about the bid and then make your bid about 8 to 10 seconds, all right? The same as if the stop card had been put out. So I'm sure this is...
Can I just say, please, make sure you ask the bloody questions during the 8 to 10 seconds and not wait till it's over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100%. That is what the time is for. All right. The whole thing about all of these jump bids is very often you actually do want to know what they mean. And I would really emphasize to everyone out there that when your opponent jumps to above three no trumps, yeah. So your partner's option, for example, and they make a bid of four clubs, four dot, whatever it might be, if it's not an opening bid, it is not alertable if it is higher than three no trumps. All right. So you seriously may well want to. There's Leaping Michaels is one of the more common conventions played. People play a lot of different things here. So when someone makes a jump, but a lot of people are playing constructive twos where they're about in the opening point range now, not weak. Don't make any, and this is serious, anyone going to Congress, don't assume that what you think it means is what it means. There's a lot of different stuff played around the country. We're better off because we've had lockdowns, we've had Real Bridge and BBO. We've learned about stuff that's played in other areas. But for all of that, people still assume that what they think, what they play is what the bid means. And that is not necessarily true. So it is really worthwhile to ask your opponents, if they make a jump bid, ask them what it means, because you might be surprised by the answers.
I thought it might have been smoother than that, the change to ditching them out.
The problem is that when someone makes a jump bid, so say you open three clubs or whatever you might open, right, and you take up a lot of room in the bidding, so it takes room away from your opponents. The problem is that invariably there are hands from about the 10-point range upwards where you are going to have to stop and think about what you're going to do next. And you are allowed to think.
Yeah.
Okay? So the compulsory pause, the recommended pause, the stop card, the whatever the heck it is, right, is about the fact that people need a wee bit of time to gather their thoughts after someone makes a jump bid. And that's just reasonable. And when you're too fast, you have nothing. When you're too slow, you definitely have something. And the Goldilocks zone, which is the thinking zone, is when everything is just right and we're all happy, happy people. And this is the second time in a week I've talked about the Goldilocks zone and bridge. Completely different situations, I might add.
Right.
Go on, tell us what the other one was.
You never knew we wanted porridge. I can't remember. I was doing a lesson for like an improver's lesson, and it was about the biddings, about your rebid, and whether you went beyond your barrier and other sort of things. But in all fairness, when people make a surprise bid that's a higher level, we want to take a little bit of time to gather our thoughts about what we're doing. If we bid quickly, generally we just have nothing to say. That's information our partner doesn't want. And if you really want to think about it, we also don't want our opponents to have extra information about our hand. So slow or fast, we give information away. Be in the middle. Now, I am really pleased to say we're only playing the teams this year at Congress. So the beginning of the week, we won't be there when all of the trouble arrives about this. It will be an interesting period of time as we transition. Actually, we had no issue at the tournament that I am aware of yesterday, because a lot of people haven't been using stop cards for quite a long period of time.
Oh, I see.
Since they're introduced. But there will be situations that arise somewhere along the line.
Seriously, this is the first tournament since we stopped using the stop cards. How do you reckon it went? Do you think it was, not too much difference really? Or
no, but then we don't see what's happening around the room. And I know that there are a lot of clubs that really don't use them anyway. All right. And I know there are a lot of people that don't use them or don't know how to use them. And those, I mean, seriously, as I said last time, when people aren't abiding by regulation and persist in not doing the appropriate thing, then the players have basically decided we're not going to use them. And that's fine. No matter what we all think, it's what the majority of people clearly want to happen. But to be really aware, there is a recommended, I still don't have the exact wording from New Zealand Bridge about New Zealand, But it appears that we have a very definite thing where we take 8 to 10 seconds after our opponent makes a jump bit in front of us to gather our thoughts, ask the questions, and then make a bit.
I reckon most people didn't realise that was going to happen. I think most people probably just thought, oh, good, stop cards are going, and then I can just bid whenever I like. It's not quite that straightforward.
No, basically, you're obligated, as they're phrasing in their regulations. There is a lot of stuff around this about what does or doesn't happen. And I know, as I've said previously, I have directed and been doing stuff with hesitations and appeal committees. And really, the stopping and thinking bit actually does help if it's a marked amount of time. Mm-hmm. It stops a lot of stuff happening.
But what do you reckon the goss was around the room? I'm sure you and the bailiff were being, what are people thinking? Are they happy about it, or most people happy about it, or not even talking about it?
It didn't really come up as a topic of conversation, but then I don't know how many people know.
I'm surprised at that.
So that's a really good thing for people that are going to Congress for maybe the first time, or if they're one of our newer players playing at Congress, to know that just because there's no stop card, they're obligated.
Well, if you're in America, they are. In New Zealand, we're still sorting out the phrasing. But really importantly, for people that are going to Congress, don't assume that what people play, leads, bids, the whole raft of things, don't think that they do what you do. If they say they play Michaels, Pottage, Hamilton, I don't know, whatever it might be, don't assume it's the way that you play it. I have played in various places around the country, and I have had Michaels play quite a few different ways in that time. Things are different between different areas. It's important to realise.
Leeds are quite an interesting one, though, Judge. People really ask about leads when somebody sits down to play against them, and it's even rarer if they lead low from a Doubleton or whatever the heck they do. It doesn't
free
usually
lead.
Get
next week,
I know it should be free or less.
Next week, ask me when I go anywhere to play, and I'm looking at system cards of what people play when I'm playing, you know, whatever it might be. One of the really important things I look at is carding more than anything else.
Okay.
It is about carding and what they do. So, good question for next week. Pre-alerts about the carding.
All right. Sounds like a sign-off, Barry.
I reckon if you went around the room, even if you played at 13 tables at Congress, you could count on one hand the number of times, or probably less than one hand, if there is such a thing, how many times people would pre-alert their carding.
Yeah, and so a few people put out pre-alert cards where they have a brief explanation of what they do. The system cards should all be accessible on the table to read, and good luck about that happening, she says cynically, only because I like reading system cards. All these people go to so much effort, and they need someone to make them feel better, and I'm the person who reads system cards.
Yay!
But pre-alerts.
What, Mariana, we've all had to put our system cards in for the World Championships in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
And well, when I say we, I don't think Blair, Patrick, or I did much.
And the problem with playing a complex system is having a complex system card. And so, yes, it has been a bit of a mission, but I'm relaxing now, so I'm a lot happier.
Do you actually have to put in notes as well?
Notes to things that people need to understand, and we have notes that we have ourselves that we go through when we're revising and looking at, and most people do anyway, but because it's such a complex system, so doing the notes to things is not that difficult because we already have them on a document, so copying and pasting works brilliantly. There is a limited amount of space, and playing a system that is more natural third and fourth in hand, and it just gets difficult.
Hey, how far away is it now?
4 weeks.
4 weeks, Barry.
Yeah, a month. Yeah, it is indeed. So.
And how long are you going for?
Patrick and I are away for 3 weeks. Barry and Jenny are slightly longer, I think.
Yeah, not much longer, just a couple of 2 or 3 days longer, I think. Yep.
And Liz and Blair are a couple of days longer, a wee bit longer than that, aren't they? So.
Yeah. I just want to point out one thing at Congress. I do think that system cards are a bit more readily available at Congress than you get at your average session.
Yep, they are.
You know,
and Often they're in people's pockets, but generally, if you ask, they will have them available so you can look at them. And it is really easy. I mean, I think theoretically we're meant to have two to a table, and we might start off each having one system card that we can show our opponents. But by the time you get halfway around the room, you'll find that one of the people at the table, and I won't mention the gender here because, I wouldn't be like that, but they will have left their table way, way back.
Well, some genders, they do a lot of thinking. They're really, really busy all the time and they forget things.
Of
At
course.
age. I mean, as a senior, Barry says he's not a senior, so I won't have too much of a discussion with him about that.
Oh, funny.
Congress looming up. We'll get a few more handy tips.
Okay.
Well, cheers for that, and we'll catch you next week. Just have a sneaky look. Is there any tournaments happening within the region next week? Do you think I might be able to say, "G'day, how are you?" and then sneak off to a tournament?
There's one really close by. It's one of
Whereabouts?
our closest, Franklin, Pukekohe.
Oh,
You know
yeah.
the
I
way.
do know the way.
At the moment, they've got 10 tables entered.
Right.
So
Chances are I
it's
probably
fine.
won't be able to.
Okay. Well, I've got something else for you. The Greymouth, Hokitika, whatever, that area, are holding a 3-day 8B Congress over the weekend, and it's all online.
Wow, that
So
sounds cool.
Greymouth, this is a bit of an, really cool innovation, I think, up by the top of the south. So Greymouth are having an online 8B pairs on Friday, starting at 10 in the morning. Then on the Saturday, they've got the Picton Open Teams. It's also an 8B.
Yeah.
And then on the Sunday, they've got the Motueka Open Swiss Pairs. All of them are online. So if you've just arrived back in the country, just touched down, and you're a bit shy about taking off to a tournament somewhere, maybe you can sneak in one of these online ones.
Oh, I could do that. What a great tip that is. I'll say, oh, but Barry made me do it.
I can take the blame.
Okay. All right. Well, that's about it from us, folks. I hope you enjoy the week's bridge that's coming up. And you never know, I might see you online next weekend.
And I'm going to finish my pizza.
Okay. See you later.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.